I'm Kendall Todd from WCRB, and I'm here at Symphony Hall with conductor Susanna Malki. Susanna, welcome to Boston.
Thank you very much.
So I understand it's been almost a decade since you've been back to Boston. Is that correct?
Yes, I haven't checked the year of when I was last here, but it feels like a long time ago. Yes, indeed.
And what do you look forward to about coming back to the Boston Symphony?
Well, it's wonderful, of course, to come back to an orchestra which you remember and recognize the musicians of. I mean, 10 years is in a young conductor's life is a long time. And even, you know, there are always changes of personnel, even in the orchestras. But no, it's wonderful. This is one of the big and important orchestras. And the program is amazing also. I mean, I have lived in France for, I think, 12 years now. And of course, bathing in the sonorities of Debussy and all of that. I mean, doing La Mer with this orchestra is wonderful. We have this extraordinary piece by Dieter Ammann, the piano concerto. So it's very, very exciting, very varied program. And I'm very happy, yeah.
How does having lived in France influence how you programmed this concert?
Programming is, of course, I mean, La Mer is one of those cornerstone pieces in the repertory. So, of course, if you get an opportunity to do it, if it's proposed, I can't actually remember if it was the orchestra which proposed it. It may have been, but it's a piece that I've done a lot. And whenever I have a chance to do it, I say yes immediately. I think having been in France for a long time definitely has influenced my understanding of the music and also actually of the culture in general. You know, the French language and the French culture is very much about suggesting things. They don't reveal things at once, or, you know, of course there can be a lot of polemic things and people are not shy about expressing their opinions, but it's just it's very, very fascinating how this translates into music as well. And the sound, the instrumentation, we have an idea of French color of instrumentation, but it's also different aesthetics about sound projection. And there's the woodwind culture in France, and also the string sound is different from the German sound or the American sound and all of that. So I think now, having been there for such a long time and having worked with all of them, their important orchestras, it's I feel relatively confident about the kind of sound we should be hearing, because it's really something. It's an idiom, and I'm totally enchanted by it. It's really, really beautiful world to explore.
Fantastic. And what is it like to play French music with this orchestra?
Well, of course, the Boston Symphony has a long tradition with French conductors, especially in the past. And, you know, for example, in La Mer, there's one place where Charles Munch had added something. And I didn't intend to do it, but they had it in their parts. And I was thinking, well, you know, after all, we are in Boston, and it was Charles Munch, so I don't mind at all. And of course, I mean, they know the piece very well. And no, it's a pleasure. It's a piece. I mean, the French repertory is really something that demands the exquisite control of your instrument, and of course with an orchestra with players on the highest level, that is the best circumstances to do this kind of music.
Absolutely. So you are a great champion of music by living composers, new music. What drew you to this piano concerto by Dieter Ammann?
I've worked with Dieter Ammann before. But it's been many years. I did a piece of his earlier, and I've also followed his music. I mean, we have been in touch. And I've also collaborated with Andreas Hefliger, and they had this project together. And I think my name came up in the context for the premiere. Then the premiere, I was actually supposed to do the premiere of it, but then it was postponed for the usual reasons, I would say. So I didn't conduct that one, but I'm going to do several performances of it also now later in this season. We're playing it in Helsinki and in Munich as well. It's a collaboration with both the soloist and the composer, and I like Dieter's music a lot because he has Actually, a slightly different background from many other composers. He comes from the jazz, which, of course, you can hear in his writing, and it's very rhythmically active, and the sonorities are very, how should I say? I mean, it's not the hardcore avant-garde contemporary music. It's very, I think it's very virtuosic and also accessible, because it has the tonal references. It also has nice references to classical piano concertos. You will be able to recognize those. And it's really player's music, and I enjoy doing it. And I said to Dieter, you know, it's very, very difficult, but I'm sure that the musicians will want to show off, you know. And then he said something very nice. He said, well, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I compose, because I want to give the musicians an opportunity to shine. And I think this is something that you can hear also in this piece. It's very, very virtuosic and very active and full of things, but a lot of fun. And Andreas, of course, is doing an extraordinary job. I think it must be horrendously difficult. It's relentless, but it's great fun to play this.
One thing that interests me about this piano concerto is I guess I would call it a motto at the beginning of the score, I believe. Where Amon says, this is to be a beacon to fight climate change. Is that something that you believe music can do?
I wish. I would be curious to know, to let him explain a little bit further what he means with that. But I think I do agree with him definitely in the sense that music can save the world if it can bring joy and hope for people, because it's very important that we stay in an optimistic mood. And this music, I mean, this piece is also reflective. There's a very, very beautiful chorale at the end, and it kind of ends after all this virtuosity. It ends with a little question mark, which is of course also an indication for us to reflect on things, you know, to ask a question, and things are not solved. We have to find good solutions, but we have to keep the optimism going.
Absolutely. So I would like to talk a little bit about the Messiaen piece, which is amazing, fascinating piece. In the program notes for it, and just by hearing the piece, we see that Debussy La Mer is one of the great predecessors to this music. And I was wondering if you could speak about that a bit.
Yes, Messiaen was definitely one of the most important French composers of the 20th century. And he lived actually all during the 20th, not like Ravel and Debussy, who were born in the 19th. This piece is actually a movement in a bigger work, which is called L'Ascension, Ascension, which consists of movements in very, very different characters, actually. And it's very meditative and more like... most of the music is slow, and they're like prayers. And you, of course, you know that Messiaen was very, very devout Catholic, and almost all his pieces are about religion and faith in some sense. I mean, even Turangalila, which is inspired by Indian mythology, it's still very spiritual. And this music is very declamatory, but it's still in the sort of prophetic religious spirit. Messiaen was a colorist. He had, of course, apparently he had synesthesia. He saw colors. His harmonies are very, very rich. And I think it's beautiful to see the link of French music actually coming from Debussy through Messiaen into the spectralism. And of course the harmonic, you know, Messiaen developed the harmonies. He was an organist, so he also had, of course, a great knowledge about different registers and frequencies and all that. And there is always something very luminous about his music, and I think the harmonies are very, very rich. I don't personally see a direct link between Debussy and Messiaen in the language, because Messiaen is very... how should I say... When I think of Messiaen, I think of urgency and passion and conviction and all of those things. And whereas Debussy is much more hinting towards things, even though there are dark colors in Belleas and things like that. But there is definitely a link in the transparency. I think this piece, Ascension, is very interesting because it's a piece from his youth. So, of course, stylistically, he developed, I mean, for the decades to come, because he lived until very old age, he developed a different way of writing. But it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, and you can definitely recognize it as Messiaen already.
And how does the Fauré fit into this program as well?
Well, Fauré, I think, is very interesting because I'm sure that Debussy was influenced by Fauré. For me, it's even quite obvious. Maybe not with the Pavane, which is a very, very beautiful little piece, but it's not. It doesn't have the sort of original strange aspect of Fauré, which exists in some other pieces by him. I think Fauré is maybe underrated, or at least not as well known as he should be. I think he was really a precursor to Debussy. And in some of his works, there are harmonies which are very surprising. So he was kind of exploring whether you can stretch the usual lines already. And I think there, in that sense, he was an inspiration to Debussy. And yes, we wanted to have a French color. And you can even, I mean, Dieter Ammann is Swiss, but you can hear very clearly some spectral influences on some spots in his piece. So I think, yeah, it makes a nice journey of French colors.
Definitely. Susanna Malky, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.